14, and let's talk about breakthrough this morning. 1 Chronicles 14, let's begin reading at verse 1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, along with cedar logs, stonemasons, and carpenters to build a palace for him. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingdom had been highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. In Jerusalem, David took more wives, and he became the father of more sons and daughters. The next couple of verses contain the names of 13 children that were born to David during this period. Most notably was the birth of Solomon, his successor, and the Israel's greatest earthly king. Look at verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 14 with me. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered, "Go, I will deliver you." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated the Philistines. He said, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim means God breaks through. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley of Rephaim, so David inquired of God again, and God answered him and said, "This time do not go straight up, but instead circle around behind them and attack them from in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, move out to battle, because that will mean that God has gone out before you to strike the Philistines." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeah to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all nations fear him. Let's pray, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak over us a word of breakthrough. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the people of God, and I thank you for your awesome presence here. I thank you for your powerful word, and I pray that you'd come now by the Holy Spirit and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that bring breakthroughs. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. Beloved, I want to tell you that I believe that this is our appointed season for breakthrough. I believe that God is getting ready to break out in this place. I believe that God's getting ready to break out in our lives. I believe he's getting ready to break out in our homes. I believe he's getting to break out in our finances. I believe he's getting ready to break out in our health. I believe that God is getting ready to break out on the enemy of our soul like mighty floodwaters. I believe that he's getting ready to break off every spirit of fear and intimidation that has plagued us and held us back. I believe that God is getting ready to break down strongholds that have held us back from our full inheritance in him for years. I believe that his presence is getting ready to draw near to us with manifestations of glory that this generation has not yet seen. I believe that this is a season of breakthrough. Why? Why do I believe that this is a season for breakthrough? Well, because I perceive that this is a season of great battles. How many of you need breakthrough? How many of you ready for breakthrough in your life? How many of you know that breakthrough requires a battle? Breakthrough necessitates that there is an obstacle in my way that I must break through. Breakthrough means there's a stronghold in my way. Breakthrough means that there is a threat that's staring me in the face. Breakthrough means that an attack has been launched against me. Breakthrough requires a battle. In 1 Chronicles 14, we find David in a season of breakthrough. You remember the whole story when David was just a boy. He was called in from his father's pastures. And he was anointed by Samuel the prophet as the next king of Israel. And immediately after that, David's life seemed to take the fast track to the fulfillment of that prophecy. David was summoned to the palace to play music for King Saul. Then he defeated, as a teenage boy, the giant Goliath, and he was catapulted into fame. He became Saul's armor bearer. He married Saul's daughter, Michal. He became best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. It seemed like everything was lining up beautifully for David. Everything was going just as it should, and all of a sudden, everything was turned upside down. Saul became jealous of David, tried to kill him, and David fled for his life. And for 10 years, he is running through the wilderness, hiding in caves, going from place to place, living on handouts. In fact, it got so bad that David even became an ally of the enemy, the Philistines, and went and fought on their side for a while. And then the tables turned again and King Saul is killed and David becomes king. And finally, David is in a season of breakthrough. Finally, he's in a season where the promises of God are in his grasp. And that is when the enemy decides to launch a full force attack against him. Beloved, as I look at the story of the enemy's attack and of David's breakthrough, I hear a message from the Holy Spirit for you and me about this season of breakthrough. First, as I look at this story, I hear the Holy Spirit saying something about how our enemy operates. I hear something about how our enemy operates. You know, our focus is always on the Lord. Our focus is always on his goodness. Our focus is always on his love, on his promises. The Bible says you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. But the Bible also tells us that we need to be aware of the fact that we are in a spiritual fight. That we are in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy of our soul who is out to derail us. We have an enemy who's out to discourage us. He's out to deter us from reaching our destiny in God. He's out to disinherit us from what is rightfully ours. He's out to disenfranchise us from the family of God. And ultimately, if he can, he's out to destroy us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, "Let's not be outsmarted by our enemy, for we are familiar with his evil schemes." Beloved, I believe that God is here today to speak an encouraging word to somebody's heart because you have not understood why you're going through what you're going through. And God is here today to expose the enemy's evil schemes in your life that have been seeking to undermine you, and he's about to break out on your enemy and give you a breakthrough. So I see a few things here about how the enemy operates. First of all, as I look at this story, I see something about when the enemy attacks. I see something about when the enemy attacks. Beloved, listen to me. The enemy always attacks when I am at the beginning of something big. The enemy always attacks when I am at the beginning of something good that God is about to do. You see, David was on the threshold of something big. David was the originator of Israel's golden age, the era in which Israel was the leading nation on the whole earth. David was the progenitor of a line of kings that would rule over Israel and eventually over the whole earth forever in the person of Jesus Christ. David was on the threshold of something big. He was on the threshold of something good that God was about to do. And the enemy saw that and he said, now is when I must attack. Beloved, listen to me. If you're experiencing an attack right now in your home or in your health or in your finances or in your workplace or in your relationships, the reason that you are experiencing that attack, be encouraged, is because you are on the threshold of something big. You are on the threshold of a great thing that God wants to do in and through your life. And the enemy's strategy is always to kill things in their infancy. That's why he inspired Pharaoh to kill all the babies in Egypt. All the baby boys, the Jewish baby boys. He wanted to kill the Messiah. He wanted to cut off that line in its infancy. That's why he inspired Herod to do the same thing to the babies in Bethlehem. He wanted to cut off the Messiah while he was still in his infancy. What does the parable of the sower say? Jesus says that the enemy comes to steal away the seed of the word. He tries to stomp it out, choke it out, or dry it out while it is still in its infancy so that faith is not born and does not take root in your heart. If you're experiencing an attack, it's because you're at the beginning of something big God wants to do. As I look at this story, I see some significant moments when the enemy attacks. When does he attack? First of all, he attacks when I am beginning to see the favor of God falling on me. He attacks when I'm beginning to see the favor of God falling on me. Hiram, the king of Tyre, completely unexpectedly and out of the blue, begins to send blessings to David. He begins to send valuable building materials. He begins to send craftsmen, artisans, carpenters, stonemasons. He begins to bless David and send all of these things David's way. And verse 2 says, when David sees this, when David sees those blessings coming, he knows then, he understands that God is now establishing and exalting him. And beloved, when the enemy attacks is that very time when the favor of God begins to fall on us. When he sees the fog rolling in. Do you know what the fog is? The fog is the favor of God. And I want to tell you something, beloved. The favor of God, the fog is rolling into this place. The fog is rolling in over you and me. It's rolling in over this church. It's rolling in over our lives. And when the enemy sees that, he says, I got to attack that. When does he attack? He attacks, secondly, when my faithfulness is being rewarded. When my faithfulness is beginning to be rewarded by God. For 10 years... in Saul's court, David was faithful. And then for another 10 years running in the wilderness, David was still faithful. All that time, he was faithful to God. He was faithful to the word of God. He was faithful to Israel. He was even faithful to King Saul, though Saul tried to kill him time and again. In fact, God gave David the opportunity to take his life as a test, and David refused to take the life of God's anointed because he understood that it was a violation of faithfulness. David had been nothing but faithful, and now God is beginning to reward his faithfulness. Beloved, can I tell you, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of faithfulness. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. If God isn't faithful, if you've been a giver and a tither and you've blessed the kingdom of God and he is not faithful to you in this recession, then he is not who he says he is and his word is not true. God is a faithful rewarder, and when his rewards begin to fall on us, when our faithfulness begins to be rewarded, the enemy comes with an attack. He launches an attack. He throws every dirty trick he's got in the book at us to try and rob us of our faith. When does he attack? Number 3, he attacks when I am beginning to bear fruit. He attacks when I am beginning to bear fruit. David was fruitful in this season of his life. David became the father of more sons and daughters. He was bearing fruit. He was bearing children, most notably Solomon, his successor and Israel's greatest earthly king. And isn't it interesting that right after the mention that David is bearing fruit, it tells us that the enemy came with an attack. Beloved, make no mistake about it. The attack was an attack on the future generations that were being born. The attack was on the fruit that was being born in that place. If you want to know why there are attacks, if you want to know why the enemy is coming after us with full force, it's because there is a mighty generation of men and women being born in this place, both in the natural and in the spirit. I want to tell you something. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are being born in this place right now. Missionaries are being born in this place. Powerful prayer warriors are being born in this place. There are minstrels that are being born in this place. Holy Ghost songwriters and worship leaders and virtuosos who prophesy to God on their instruments. Artists and authors are being born in this place right now. Government leaders and marketplace leaders are being born in this place right now. Scientists and inventors are being born in this place right now. Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, the next ones coming, are being born in this place right now. Rhodes scholars are being born in this place right now. I'm so proud. One of our homeschool kids this week scored 99% on her SAT. I'm so proud. I'll take it. I prophesy to you that our kids are going to go to the best universities and colleges, not only in this country, but around the world on full free ride scholarships. Because the fog is rolling in. Why is the enemy attack? He attacks because he sees I'm bearing fruit, I'm being fruitful. When he attacks when I'm beginning to make God famous. He attacks when I am beginning to make God famous. David's fame, it says, was spreading everywhere. It was spreading to every nation, to every land. You see, God was making David bigger, and David in turn was making God bigger. When the enemy saw that, he said, I've got to stop that. I can't let him get any bigger, because the bigger he gets, the bigger he makes God on the earth. Beloved, can I tell you something? Can I tell you why the enemy doesn't want phase two to be built? He doesn't want phase two to be built because he doesn't want us to get any bigger. Because see, the bigger God makes us, the bigger we make God. The bigger God makes us, the bigger we make him in this whole region. The bigger we make him in Fairfield and Westchester and Putnam County. The bigger we make him in New York City. The bigger we make him all around the world. And he'll do everything he can to keep us from getting any bigger. We've already started making God famous. We've already started taking big chunks out of the kingdom of darkness. And so he wants to do everything he can to keep us from getting any bigger. Do you know how much the devil hates phase two? He hates phase two so much that the week that we launched the Accelerate 52 Capital campaign, he brought the entire stock market crashing down. He hates phase two so much. He's so afraid of what God wants to do through that building that he attacked the entire U.S. economy just to stop us. It's true. But here's the awesome thing. The God that I worship and the God in whom I trust is bigger than the U.S. economy, and he's bigger than the enemy that stands in my way. Come on, let's make God famous. When does the enemy attack me? When I'm beginning to be successful for the sake of his king, of his people. It says that David knew that God had established and exalted him for the sake of his people, Israel. Beloved, listen to me. I prophesy over you in the name of Jesus that God is coming to give you a breakthrough of success, and he is coming to establish and exalt you, not just for your own sake, not just for blessing for your children and your family, family, but he's coming to establish and exalt you for the sake of his people, to bless the work of his kingdom. He's coming to establish and to exalt you, to cause you to just enlarge for the sake of the advance of his kingdom on the earth. When the enemy says that, he says, oh, I can't let that happen. I gotta go after them. When does he attack? He attacks, number six, when God's people are beginning to flow in unity. He attacks when God's people are beginning to flow in unity. Look at verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 14. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had become king of all Israel, they went after him with full force. Now, David had already been king for 2 years, but he had been king of a divided Israel. He had been king only of the southern part of Israel. And as long as David was king only of the southern part of Israel, he was really no threat to the enemy at all. But the moment that Israel rallied together, the moment that they came together in unity, the moment that they rallied under his leadership and they were united again as one nation, then that was a threat that the enemy could not ignore. Do you know what our greatest threat to the enemy is? Our greatest threat to the enemy is not anointed worship. Our greatest threat to the enemy is not anointed preaching. Our greatest threat to the enemy is not even powerful prayers of intercession. Do you know that our greatest threat to the enemy is our unity? Because when two or three are gathered together and they agree touching anything, it shall be done. See, what the enemy understands is that when God's people come together in unity, he understands that we are unstoppable then. Do you know what makes this place so powerful? It's the unity that's here. This is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. I know you thought I was. I know it. I hate to burst your bubble. But I'm not a perfect pastor, and this is not a perfect church. If you do find the perfect church, don't you join it or you'll ruin it. And it doesn't mean that we agree on everything. We have a new members class coming this Thursday. I tell every new membership class, I've been telling them for more than 10 years, you don't have to agree with everything. You just have to agree to get along. It's all right. You don't have to agree with me on everything. Someday when you get to heaven with me, you'll find out I was right. But here's what makes this place so powerful. What makes this place so powerful is that God has gathered us from all different walks of life. He's gathered us from cities all across his country. He's gathered us from countries all around the world. He's gathered us from all different backgrounds, faith traditions and faith backgrounds. And he's brought us to one place together where we agree that he is worthy. I was a charismatic Presbyterian who went to a Baptist school, pastored a Brethren church in Missouri, and I wound up a Pentecostal in Connecticut. And he's brought us together where we agree that he is worthy of our best behavior, where we agree that he is worthy of the best worship that we can give him, that he's worthy of the best sacrifices we can offer, that he's worthy of the best service that we can render, that he's worthy of the best church that we can build here for the glory and honor of his name and the advance of his kingdom. When the enemy sees God's people flowing in that kind of unity, he says, that's a threat I cannot ignore. When does the enemy attack us? Number seven, he attacks me when I am beginning to find my way back to his glory. He attacks me when I'm beginning to find my way back to God's glory. If you take the time and you read chapter 13, 14, and 15 of 1 Chronicles together, you'll find out what this battle was really about. Looking through natural eyes, it's about the Philistines not wanting to lose tax revenue. but looking through spiritual eyes. What this battle was really about in 1 Chronicles 14 was it was really about the enemy trying to prevent the Ark of the Covenant being restored to the center of their lives. 1 Chronicles 13 and 15 tell the story of the journey of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and back to the center of the lives of God's people. 40 years earlier, the Philistines, the enemy, had stolen it away from the people of God. You remember the story. The Ark of the Covenant was lost in battle, and Eli, the fat priest, with his last breath, he guessed the words, "Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel," and he fell off his bench backwards and he died. And for 40 years, the Ark of the Covenant had been away from the center of Israel's worship. And if you really want to know what this battle was about, the Ark was making its way back to the center of their lives. In 13 and 15, and smack in the middle of that journey, comes this attack of the enemy, because he knew that if worship became back in the center of God's people's lives, if he knew that if sacrifice, if prayer became back at the center of their lives, he knew they would be unstoppable. Some of you, beloved, the enemy stole away a long time ago. He stole away God's presence and glory from your life. And now in this season, now you're here, now you're back trying to put him back at the center, trying to put worship back at the center of your life and put his presence back in the center of your life. And you wonder why all hell is breaking loose against you. The reason why all hell is breaking loose against you is because the enemy knows that you are standing on the threshold of reclaiming what he stole from you, and that you're on the threshold of getting back an inheritance that has been out of your hands for 40 years. When he attacks is when you and I are on the threshold of something big. Where does the enemy attack? Secondly, where does he attack? Where does he attack? He attacks when I'm on the threshold of something big. Secondly, he attacks me where? He attacks me in the old familiar strongholds of my life. He attacks me in the old familiar strongholds of my life. He attacks me in the stronghold of my fear, and he attacks me in the stronghold of my past failures. He attacks me in the stronghold of my fear, and he attacks me in the stronghold of my past failures. It's very interesting where the enemy chose to attack. They went to a place called the Valley of Rephaim. The Valley of Rephaim, for one thing, is very close to Jerusalem, which is the place that was closest to David's heart. But more importantly, the Valley of Rephaim, the meaning of the name, is the Valley of Giants. And when the enemy came and spread himself out in the Valley of Giants, what he was doing was he was striking Israel at the core of their fears. You see, it was when the 12 spies came there and they saw the giants in the land that 10 of them shrunk back from the prophetic promise that had been given over their lives. And 10 men who were afraid of a valley full of giants caused an entire nation to divert away from God's destiny for them. And throughout their entire history, from the time of Joshua all the way to the time of David, giants had plagued Israel with fear. And so the enemy came and he spread himself out. He made himself large in the Valley of Giants. Do you know that's where the enemy always hits us? His first line of attack is always with fear and intimidation. He will always come close to the things that are dearest to our hearts, and he will loom large there to intimidate us. For some of us, it may be our kids. For some of us, it may be our health. For some of us, it may be our finances. But wherever it is, he will rock your world in the place where you struggle most for security. Very interesting, but the Valley of Rephaim was also the breadbasket of southern Israel. It was the most fertile plain in southern Israel. It was their place of provision. And the enemy came and he spread himself out all over their provision to cause fear in their lives. Can I tell you what this whole recession is about? It's about an attack on provision that caused men's heart to fail them for fear. Don't buy into it. Don't believe it. Trust in the promises of the Lord. Israel had failed God terribly in the valley of Rephaim, and that's precisely where he came, in the stronghold of their fears and their past failures. If you failed God somewhere before, that's where the enemy will come and hit you. He'll hit you in your Achilles heel. He'll hit you in the place where he knows that you are vulnerable, in the stronghold of your fears, in the stronghold of your past failures. And listen to this, he hits you in the stronghold of your prolonged frustration. There is a parallel passage to 1 Chronicles 14. The parallel passage is 2 Samuel chapter 5. You can read this same story. You can read it either in 2 Samuel 5 or in 1 Chronicles 14. And it's almost word for word the same in both passages. But there is one little variation. In 1 Chronicles, it says in verse 8, it says, when the Philistines came up against David with full force, it says that David went out to meet them. If you read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 5, it says there in verse 17, it says, when the Philistines came up to meet David, when they came to look for him, it says he went down to the stronghold. Now the stronghold that he went down to was the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam is where David had spent most of 10 years hiding from Saul. The cave of Adullam is where David longed for his freedom. It's where David longed to be able to go to the tabernacle to worship. The cave of Adullam is where David wrote the words, "How lovely are your dwelling places. Oh God, my soul longs for the courts of the Lord. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The cave of Adullam is where David wrote the words, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 in this rotten cave." It's where he longed for a drink of water from the spring in his own hometown. He spent almost 10 years in that miserable cave. And now everything's changed. Now the promises of God, they are in his grasp. All of these wonderful things are happening. And the enemy all of a sudden launches an attack. And he finds himself back in that same miserable cave again. That's what the enemy does in my life and your life. Where he attacks us is in the stronghold of our prolonged frustration. And this is what he says. "See, I'm going to keep you pinned down in this cave forever. You're never going to get out of here. You're never going to get free. Your marriage is never going to be fixed. Your kids are never going to come to Christ. Your finances are never going to prosper and flourish. You are never going to succeed. I'm going to keep you stuck in this place forever." He hits us where we've been frustrated for a long time. You know that frustration, don't you? Paul wrote about it in Romans 7. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do are the things I end up doing. Who will deliver me from this stronghold?" Where he attacks us is where we've failed God in the past and where we're frustrated. That's when he attacks. That's where he attacks. How does he attack? He attacks back to back. He attacks back to back. He hits me with a 1-2 combination. There are two back-to-back attacks in this passage of Scripture, and that's how the enemy does. It says, once more, the Philistines came and they raided the valley of Rephaim. That's how the enemy hits us. He hits us back-to-back. Pastor Nick says this. He says, the enemy is like a pop rock radio station. The hits just keep on coming. But here's the good news. Listen to me. Here's the good news. Here is the word of God's breakthrough over you. The enemy came back. He came back once more. But what God gave was breakthrough. And he came back once more. But after breakthrough, he came back no more. Beloved, this is the word that God wants to speak about the strongholds in your life. The word that he wants to speak is that he has come in this season to give you a definitive breakthrough in those strongholds. We're not talking about just winning a battle. We're talking about resolving a war. When it was all over and done with, David chased the Philistines from Gibeon in the south of Israel all the way to Gezer on their own territory. He pushed the enemy out of his life for good. And guess what? After that, that enemy never came back again. And beloved, what God is saying to you is he's come in this moment in your life to tear down the strongholds in your life and to give you a final victory so that he comes back no more in that place. Now, how does God give breakthrough? How does God give breakthrough? There are four things very quickly that God gives us for breakthrough. Four things that God gives us for breakthrough. The first thing God gives us for breakthrough is he gives supernatural certainty. He gives supernatural certainty. He gives us the sure word of his promise. David saw the enemy making himself large in the valley of giants. And he said, God, what am I going to do? Will you help me? And God gives him the word of his promise. Go, I will deliver you. Go, I will go out before you. Go, David, the battle is not yours. It is mine. And beloved, the first weapon that God gives us for breakthrough is the certain word of his promise. Listen to me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, it shall be put down. This is your inheritance as a child of God. Listen to me. You have been made more than a conqueror. But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. This battle that you're fighting, it's not yours. It's the Lord. And you have the certain word of his promise that you are going to come through victoriously. The second thing God gives us for breakthrough is supernatural strategies. He gives us supernatural strategies. There are two different strategies, two battles and two strategies. The first strategy in 14 verse 10, God said to David, he said, go straight up in their face against them and I will deliver you. The second strategy for the second battle, God said to David, said this time, don't go straight up in their face. He said, this time circle around behind them and go over by the balsam trees and wait for my signal. There were two different strategies that brought definitive victory for David and for the people of Israel. And beloved, what God wants to come and do in this season is he wants to come and he wants to overshadow our minds by his spirit and give us strategies for definitive victory. While we were worshiping, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of a verse of scripture that says the Spirit of God brooded on the deep. It hovered on the deep. It overshadowed the deep. That's the same word that is used for when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she became pregnant with Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And this is what I felt while we were worshiping. I felt like the Spirit of God was brooding over us. Felt like the Spirit of God was hovering over us. And beloved, God wants to come and minister to our minds and he wants to give us supernatural strategies. He wants to give us supernatural creativity. He wants to give us new vision where you have seen nothing but dead ends before, where you have seen nothing but obstacles before, where you have seen no way out before. The Holy Spirit is coming and he's resting on your mind and he's visiting your mind to give you supernatural strategies for breakthrough. God's coming with a spirit of wisdom and revelation for you so you know what to do in your home. You know what to do in your marriage. You know what to do with your kids. You know what to do with your finances. You know what to do in the workplace. You know what to do in your health. You know what to do. God wants to come and he wants to rest on your mind to give you supernatural strategies. Receive the word of the Lord. The third thing God gives us is he gives us supernatural strength. He gives us supernatural strength. David said, God has broken through by my hand. I want you to listen. If you don't hear anything else, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, I want you to remember this. The way that God gives breakthrough is by my hand. The way he gives breakthrough is through your hand. What does that mean? That means when you go to work, God goes to work. That means when you start moving, God starts moving. That means when you go into action, God goes into action. And he blesses the work of your hand, and he strengthens the work of your hand with supernatural strength to achieve what you could not achieve before. That's good right there. You want to know how to fix your home? You move into action and you start getting godly input and you start getting godly counsel and you start taking decisive steps towards improving your behavior and your communication at home. And as you go to work, God's going to go to work in your home, and he's going to strengthen and he's going to bring breakthrough for you. You want to know how to fix your finances? You go to work and God's going to go to work for you. You're out of work right now. You start sending out resumes. You pray over every one of them and you send them out. And as you get moving, God's going to get moving on your behalf. You go to those interviews. You go to those sales meetings that you have set up, the meetings with clients and the pitches, and you mail out your bids and your proposals. And as you go to work, God is going to go to work for you, and he's going to break through by your hand. Here's what God wants to do. Listen, listen, listen. Here's what God wants to do. He wants to make your advance in every area of your life unstoppable. That's what it means when he says, like waters break out, God has broken out in my life. What the verbal picture is like water rushing down a hillside. Once a mudslide begins, once water starts pouring down a hillside, once water starts moving, it cannot be stopped. The verbal picture is like a clay pot, a big clay pot full of water. And if the thing is smashed, once the water starts flowing, once it starts advancing, it cannot be stopped. There was a little shaking in Chile yesterday. Big shaking in Chile. There will be earthquakes. There will be earthquakes. There will be earthquakes. Have you seen in the last 2 months how many earthquakes have happened all over the world? There was a big shaking in Chile. Thank God for his protection on the people. And we pray, our prayers go to that nation. But it sets some water moving. And once it set that water moving, there's nothing that could stop that water. So there was a shaking in Chile overnight Friday night, and at midnight last night, water was moving in Japan because of it. Once the water starts moving, it can't be stopped. And beloved, this is the word of the Lord over you. God wants to come and bring breakthrough in your life so that nothing can stop your advance, so that nothing can stand in the way, so that the enemy can't contain it, so that the enemy can't block it, so that no man or strategy can stand in the way of you advancing in every area of your life. Like waters break out, like waters start moving and they can't be stopped, so is the advance of the people of God when God gives breakthrough. He gives supernatural certainty, supernatural strategies, supernatural strength, and he gives supernatural support. God said to David, he said, you go, but he said, remember this, when you go, you're not going alone. Whenever you take a step, there are 10,000 times 10,000 angels that are marching right alongside of you, David. You know what? Wherever I go and whatever I do, I'm not alone. When I step out of my door in the morning, I don't walk out of the house alone. There is a battalion of angels. There is a battalion of God's heavenly host that is marching with me. When I walk into the workplace and face my mean coworkers. That's not here, but might be for you. When you walk through the door of your office, you don't walk through the door of your office alone. The captain of the hosts of the Lord is walking with you, and there is a battalion of mighty angels that are going before you to give you success that day. He gives us supernatural support. You're not walking alone. Greater are those, there are more with you than that are against you. Now, what comes from the breakthrough battles? What are the outcomes of the breakthrough battles in my life? There's three that I have. I really only want to talk about one of them. What are the outcomes of the breakthrough battles in my life? Number one, I'll just give it to you. I won't explain. Number one, I learn how to seek God. I learn how to seek His wisdom and guidance in every situation in my life. That's number one. But here's the one I want to talk about today. What are the outcomes of the breakthrough battles in my life? The broken places in my life become renamed breakthrough places. The broken places in my life are renamed breakthrough places. The Valley of Rephaim got a new name. It says on the day of that decisive battle, it says that that valley was renamed. It was no longer called the Valley of Giants. It was called Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim means God has broken through. Here's the awesome thing. Listen to this. You're going to speak in tongues when you realize what this means. This is the last mention of giants ever in the history of Israel. Giants had caused the entire nation to take a 40-year penalty lap through the wilderness. Giants had caused, in the days of Joshua and the judges, giants had caused the children of Israel to shrink back from claiming their full inheritance and possessing all the land. In the days of Saul, giants had caused Saul to shrink back in fear from the prophetic promise that had been resting over his life. See, this is what God said about Saul in the beginning. God said, Saul, you will deliver my people from the Philistines. But the Philistines got themselves a giant named Goliath. And when Saul saw that giant, he shrunk back in fear and he backed away and never fulfilled the prophetic promise that had been spoken over his life. It wasn't until David and his mighty men came along that they slew the last of the giants in the land. And in a moment of breakthrough, God gave a definitive victory and the Valley of Giants was renamed. And so giants, the memory of giants was wiped forever out of the land. And that place that had been a stronghold of giants was now called God Breaks Through. Beloved, this is what comes from the breakthrough battles. The battles are hard. The battles hurt. The battles, they push us. The battles, they stretch us. The battles, they send us to our knees and they send us crying out. But listen, here is the fruit. Here is the outcome of those breakthrough battles in my life. They caused what was broken in my life to be renamed. God has broken through. So that old stronghold of anxiety is now called God has broken through. That old stronghold of anger in my life has now been renamed. God has broken through. That old stronghold of self-loathing in my life has been renamed. God has broken through. That old stronghold of impurity in my life has been renamed. God has broken through. That old stronghold of poverty, of want, of lack, of failure has been renamed. My God has broken through. Baal Perazim. God has broken through on my enemy like mighty floodwaters. Breakthrough! 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 Come on, give God glory in this place. It's time for breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Breakthrough! 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 Come on, just begin shouting it. Breakthrough! Breakthrough! Come on, begin declaring it. Breakthrough! 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 Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. God is pulling down strongholds in this place. God is busting strongholds in this place. God is slaying giants in this place. Breakthrough! 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 In Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Come on, glorify God. Come on, lift up your voice. Give a shout of triumph in this place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah!
Lord, we believe.
Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Savior, He can move the mountains.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Oh, He is forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered. He has conquered. He has conquered. Yes!
Savior, He can move the mountain.
Oh, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever, author of salvation.
He rose and conquered the grave.
Come on, sing it one more time. Savior, He can move the mountains.
Savior, He can move the mountains.
Oh, You can move the mountains. God, You are
mighty to save.
Oh, He is mighty to save.
Forever, author of salvation.
He rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Come on, give a big praise to God in this place. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Thank You, Jesus.
Oh, You are mighty, mighty, mighty deliverer, mighty deliverer. You're my deliverer. You're my deliverer.
Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Come on, lift up your hands all over this place. Lift up your hands all over this place. Spirit of God is here. Spirit of God is here. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak over Your people the word of Your breakthrough. Veil Parazim, God has broken through. Shakarada masiki atalala bosiki atalala bosiki atabo shute yarara besiki ama shukama hisiti atalala bosiki atalala bositi. Father, I speak over Your people the word of Your unstoppable advance.